Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths. And as always, we're having a real talk with a real leader, and we're breaking down hot topics to help take your game to the next level. Today's guest is a dear friend of mine for so many years, I couldn't even put a number to it, which we'll get into that in a minute. Scott Zimmerman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah. So, folks, I wanted Scott on for a while at the very, very beginning of my podcasting life journey. I had Scott on. And I wanted you to come back for a really long time because of your incredible experience and wisdom in the space of global retail, merchandising, leading brands, leading people, but also for the incredible way that you walk this earth and you as a human, as a leader. And so, there's so much to share. And this episode, we're actually talking about breaking down, breaking out on your own. Because folks, Scott has an incredible career, history, the NBA, Nike, New Balance, Carhartt, Shinola. I mean, major, major brands, culture shifting brands. And now you have had the courage to break out on your own, as co-founder of a consultancy called the Rocket Punch, which is awesome. So folks, those are all the things we're here talking about today.
You know what? I feel like we should just end it there because that's such a great intro. I don't even think I'm gonna be able to say anything to like live up to the intro you just gave me, Shauna. So
You
thank
know
you,
what's so
everyone. It was
wonderful?
great. I hope you learned something. I
Yeah,
certainly learned a
exactly.
lot about
Bye.
myself.
Peace out. No, you know what? It's so funny, Scott, that even that you said that, it's like this has been your life. This has been your career journey. So it's just the normal for you. But again, like when you hear those roster of brands, it's like, wow, it's incredible. And we actually met folks. I was actually in my early 20s. I think it was my first job. I was with Nike with a WNBA. And I was with the Seattle Storm in their inaugural season. So that had to have been about 2000. Cannot believe we're saying this out loud. And one of the players, the Storm players, Charmin Smith, who isn't, she introduced us. So Charmin is now like head coach of the Cal women's team, killing it. I wish this would make it her way to thank her for bringing us together. But it is the evidence, I think, of us through the years, through the miles, staying connected, continuing to be present for each other as friends, as business people, as leaders, learning and growing with each other. I thank you for always being a presence in my journey, and always taking the call. And again for coming on today.
Same. I think 2000 sounds about right. So it was quite a while ago. You talk about my journey and Nike and all these other great iconic global brands, but I don't know if we'll get to it, but the piece that I think is always kind of there for me is the network, just like the network of really great people that are always there for you. Shauna, you made that in, well, Sharma made the introduction to you. You made that introduction to Kenya. Kenya made an introduction to a woman named Lee. That's how I got my first job at Nike. Right? So you're very much part of the catalyst party that that got me
Catalyst
there and
party.
started me on this path, like 25, well, so longer now, but 25 years ago, 30 years ago, I didn't even know that these types of roles existed, right? I was a kid that was cutting open a shoe at home because I was interested. I had no idea that you could actually make shoes for a living. I just thought they show up, right? So it's just funny how things happen.
Yeah,
So thank
absolutely.
you, because you're a big part of getting me there.
That's incredible. And but to your point, like look at the network you built and you continue to nurture. And I know that's been key to you breaking out on your own and starting the Rocket Punch. And so I'd love to share you to share with the audience a bit of your journey to getting to this place where you have had the courage to break it on your own, catch this dream. So when did you start thinking, huh, maybe I do want to break out on my own?
Yeah, I think it's been there for a while. It's like these deep-seated things, but then, you know, there's risk and there's doubt and there's family and all the considerations. So I think it's always been there, but, you know, after a number of years and seeing other people be successful and then just having a couple conversations here and there over the last year or 18 months, and just seeing the faith that people have in you, even when you might not have it in yourself, it's almost like that same catalyst like I talked about earlier, right? It's just that little kick. And then it just comes down to like, okay, am I prepared? Have I thought it through? Am I willing to accept the risks that come with leaving this like corporate culture where it's pretty relatively safe to going out and trying something new? So you have to have that appetite. I think it's, like I said, I think it's always been there, but it just took a while to maybe grow and manifest to a point of, okay, now is the right time, because I don't want to look back in 20 years or 25 years and say, boy, I really should have done that when I was younger.
Yeah, it's so true. I love what you said at the beginning of that about people believing in you, because when you hear someone say, I believe in you, it is so, sometimes it just as you were saying, like, it's the thing that allows you to like close your eyes and jump. It's the thing that allows you to keep going every day, to, you know, reach out to someone, to ask someone for a referral, those type of things. So, you know, I'm just saying to those in the audience, like, you know, again, believing in other people and letting them know that can be such a difference maker.
Absolutely. And it really was that belief. I mean, I had the belief that it would work and that I could do it. And we're still young. We're still, you know, 6-8 months old at this point. So we're not this old brand, but I knew that we could do it. It's just, you know, to hear other people come in and be like, yeah, I know that you guys are going to be successful. To have other people come and say, can you hire me? I want to be part of this with you. And I have to say, slow down. We're not quite there yet. I've got another friend from my time in Europe who's like, you know, let's expand this thing to Europe. We can work together. And it's like, yes, I want to. But that is belief, right? Like, that's people who are putting themselves out there that are willing to take the risk with you. So having that in your corner and having that, like, that group of cheerleaders, family, of course, they're going to do it. But then colleagues, former colleagues, people you've worked for, people that have worked for you, friends, you know, it all helps get you there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so true. So you are focusing on brand and consumer experience. So talk to us a bit about what are you doing with the Rocket Punch and who are the type of clients that you're working with and what are the type of solutions that you're creating?
Yeah. So we launched this thing we launched it in 22. My wife is my partner. She's the best partner. You and I talk about, like, you know, working with friends, right? Like, that's a big piece of it. When you're working with your best friend, it's pretty amazing. What's cool is she comes from a brand marketing side. So she understands how to build up brands. I come from the product side. So I understand product market fit together, go to market strategies, inventory together. It's like this seamless end-to-end experience that we can provide for brands of all growth stages. Some are just looking to change their direction, or they have a new vertical that they want to explore and they don't necessarily either have the experience or the know-how to actually do that. Some are startups. There's a brand that we work with that's a Kickstarter brand, and they've been around for a little bit over a year, and we're helping them reach their next phase of growth. So we're doing it across the board, and it's not specific to one industry. We know apparel really well, apparel and footwear. That's our background. So we spend a lot of time with companies there, but, you know, we're also working with an AI startup. So yeah, I mean, it's primarily in the retail space and selling goods, but we're tackling brands of all sizes, sub $1 million to hundreds of millions of dollars we have in our portfolio now, apparel brands to CPG as well. So, and it's been awesome.
Lots of key learnings in the beginning, I'm sure.
You know what? Yes. Yeah, because when you're with these established brands, first of all, you have people to do all the things that you don't know how to do, right? So, you know, everything from the accounting, yeah, there are whole accounting and finance departments. Well, we don't have that, right? Setting up a website, like we had to do that ourselves. Now I'm saying we, in that Meredith, my wife, did all of that stuff. So, but it's something that we had to learn and had to figure out for sure.
Yeah. It's the reason why I said it is because I think that one thing that I encourage people, and you probably are going to as well, to do when you're considering breaking out on your own, when you are breaking out on your own, to your point, there's a lot of these things that you need to have there an extra layer of patience as you're figuring those things out. Because yes, you know how to do the core of the business that you're servicing people, and there's this whole new realm of learning that goes on with it and figuring out how to squeeze it into time and, you know, in the time in a day and all of those things. So I think those are keys to breaking out on your own that, you know, they're pain points, they're learning points. They're also kind of fun and interesting. I remember when I was sitting down to build my website at the beginning with zero, you know, experience and that kind of thing. And I just tried to treat it like it was like a learning experience. And I thought, well, I'm adding to my toolbox, you know, of skill sets and things, and, you know, gives you an appreciation for roles that other people have that, to your point, other people were doing those things. So that's
exactly right. Exactly right. And just the learnings, like you said, whether it's like, you know, helping a company with its inventory or its line plan or, you know, creating personas, like that stuff we've done for 20 plus years. Like we know how to do that. That's not the stuff that we're actually learning. We're learning about these brands because they're different and we're embedding ourselves in them. But setting up your own business is it's a completely different animal.
Yeah, absolutely. Just the amount that I have to remind myself is to have patience with myself in the process and that I will figure it out. And that the other element of that is I'm not going to probably figure it out and have it all perfect tomorrow or next week. It's, you know, because you're used to after you've sat in a seat for a while or you've had a certain number of years of experience in an area, you can get into that flow of, okay, I know what I'm doing. I'm feeling good. I can't tell you how many times I say to my husband, John, like, I don't know what I'm doing as I'm tackling something new. He's like, Shauna, no one does. We're all making it up. I'm like, okay, thank you.
But isn't that the thing, right? Is like, you can't pretend that you know it. You have to learn it. So you can't be overly confident about like, oh, I know how to do like, yeah, part of the confidence is understanding what you don't know. So you're figuring this out as you go and you're like, okay, I don't know this. I need to call these people or I need to take this course or I need to talk to John. Maybe he can help with it, right? Like that's part of it. That's part of building up your confidence and your competence.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, with that patience of knowing, okay, I'm proving myself to myself every time I learn something new in this new breakout experience that I'm, you know, embarking upon. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, well, I taught myself how to do it the last time, or I figured that part out. So this next new thing, I'll be able to figure it out again. So, So before, I actually want to get back to some specifics around work that you're doing and some key takeaways and that kind of thing. But before we do, I would love for you to share with the audience, if you will, how the name The Rocket Punch came about. I love
this. So there was a period where Meredith had left the corporate world. She had started doing some consulting. And we were like, okay, well, we need to create an LLC and everything that goes along with it. Talk about learning new things. We sat down. We had an offsite, which is funny when you work together, two of us. So we went and we had this offsite. We're like, we're going to leave this meeting with names. I think it was 4 hours long. And we just started listing every name based on the type of work we were going to do. So we're using all the corporate buzzwords that everyone hears. We were throwing retail in there, product, consumer, and it just didn't sound like us. So we've got two young kids, and we were talking about this idea of, I'll back up a second. When the pandemic hit, we started driving to Florida That was, we would go to Florida for Christmas for about a month at a time. Our families were New Yorkers, so everyone moves to Florida. So that's where all New Yorkers. So we had to go visit everyone in Florida. We decided we were going to drive from Michigan because we're based outside of Detroit. And we loaded up the car. I believe it was, it must have been 2022. So we had a five-year-old and a three-year-old. And they get on these crazy tangents so much that sometimes we time them to see how long they go. There was one, for some reason, imagine two car seats with little girls in them holding hands. And they're going, 1, 2, 3, rocket punch. And they did it for about 40 minutes straight. And usually we cut them off at some point, but it was just so cute. We were like, all right, we'll let this one go. So we did that. So we put that up as a name, as an option. Rocket punch evolved in our house. It's, you know, it's a fist bump now. So there's meaning to it. It's like, hey, we got this, right? Or great job. So when we started going through the names and we saw all these other names, we're like, nah, those don't really feel like us. The rocket punch kind of stuck. So that's how we landed on the name. I will tell everybody who's listening, if you do Google it, you will also find it as a K-pop band. Don't get confused. That's not us. We're not a K-pop band. We're the consultancy based out of Detroit.
I love that story because it is that just that authentic, how did you come up with something and that meaning behind it. It's, you know, and it is so funny, all the buzzwords that you go through. When I was naming SLG Impact, I did the same thing. I was like, all these buzzwords. And I was like, oh no, I'll be really different. And I'll name it. This is before the swimsuit line Somersault came out. I was like, I'll name it Somersault for no reason. and it was just kind of quirky. And then it was that moment of sitting back and being like, wait a second, what am I actually trying to do? And I'm trying to create, you know, impact in a way that's truly unique and authentic to me. So I just put my initials at the front of it. It's like, this is what it is. But you know, and then it means something to me. And so, you know, again, I appreciate that story, and it's much more catchy than mine, but I really I love that. But it also makes me ask you, you put that authentic effort into the name and it means something to you. And so I'm curious if you'll share with us, in breaking out on your own, were there some key things where you were like, you know, when I'm doing it my way and I'm an open or our way and we're going to start our own company, these are the things that I want to look differently in the company that we're creating. Or is it around culture? Is it around like what are, or even the structure? What are some of those things that were really purposeful that you did?
Yeah, I think the main thing when I think about it, what I constantly go back to is values and intentions, right? Those are the two main things. And yeah, I guess you could put vision in there as well. And I wanted to make sure that when we take this on, that we're not just partnering with everyone, right? Like, there are plenty of people with opinions. You got the big three, or I don't know how many big ones there are now, but you know, they all come in, they have their ideas, they share their ideas, they're great at what they do. You don't need another big three. What you need is somebody that you can actually, I don't want to have it sound bad, so you may need to edit that. but you know, we want it to be partners. We want it to be partners with brands that kind of live the same values and intentions that we do. You know, part of that thought process is a company or a brand is bigger than a company and a brand, right? A company and a brand is about the people that work there and the communities that it supports. So that's important to us, right? Like, when we're talking to brands, understanding what they value is one of the most important things to make sure that, you know, we're the right fit for them. It doesn't always work out, right? But when it does, you're aligned and you're doing things together and you're kicking things off and it's working. That's what we're trying to achieve. You know, you, Shauna, sent this picture to me, and I know you remember it. I think you're at a Red Wings game, and it was a picture of a guy with a jacket that said, "I only want to work with friends." And that kind of stuck with me. Turns out that's a brand. I think it's based in Detroit. I haven't reached out to them yet, but it stuck with me, right? And it's not so much about only working with friends, but it's working with people that are supportive of others, are supportive of communities, that want to see communities flourish and grow. And at the same time, they're using their brand as the avenue to help do that. So for us, it's important if I'm working on a product strategy or an inventory strategy, that I'm keeping in mind how many people are employed, how's the cash flowing through the business, so that I can support growth where it needs to happen. Because as a company grows, the community around it should be successful as well.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah,
and I actually hadn't asked you that before, so I thought I knew the answer. So it was really good to hear you, you know, the way you spoke about it. And it is part of why when I came up with a leadership athlete and picked 100 people who I think demonstrate the qualities of leadership athletes, I asked you to be part of the first draft class. So folks, he is also a first draft class leadership athlete. That really does bring exactly what you were talking about. It's like caring about something bigger than just yourself and uniting with people for common reasons and to achieve together and to continually evolve and to be resilient and courageous at times, as you know, as you've done and as you've broken out on your own. Which is also a nice shift to something that I really wanted to talk to you about and make sure we spend enough time on, is leadership. And I really admired the way that you have continued to evolve yourself as a human, as a leader. I know you've had some pretty key influential people who've been a part of your development, gotten some coaching on your own. So I, want to acknowledge, recognize, and a bit of celebrate all of that. And I know that you've developed your own leadership mantra. So let's get into that. Let's talk about what, you're trying to do in the space of leading, and kind of how you've evolved yourself.
Yeah. I don't think I ever set out, right? Like if I go back to when we first met, being like a corporate executive or corporate leader was not part of what I was thinking about, right? It's not, I need to lead a team one day. Now there are people who do think that, and they prepare for it, early on, and they go to the best schools and they get there. It was, what I say is, it was kind of years in the making for me. I didn't think it was something I necessarily wanted, but when you start to experience and learn from some of the best leaders, and you spend time with them, you start to understand the impact that it can have. So, I could sit here and I could name, and I've been so fortunate, really. Like I'll tell you, the leaders that I've had in my career, 99% of them have been amazing. And I've learned so much from them. And they've all gone on to amazing, amazing things. Most of them I'm still in touch with today, right? So when you start to experience the impact that really strong leadership can have on you, you absorb it and you learn from it and you apply it. And I guess like you can use Nike as the example. I was moved to a new job every couple years, so I got to experience new leadership styles. I got to spend time in Europe, different leadership styles. So you get this diverse experience and you absorb it. And I think at some point I got my first, I'd say my first team 2004, 2006, around there. I never at that point thought that I'd be leading a team of almost 300 at one point. It's just not something that was on my radar. But every single step of the way, I've either learned something from the people I've worked for, the people that have worked for me, I've probably learned more from them. There are great leaders that are teaching as they go, and they're teaching at all levels in the organization. It's just whether or not you're willing to listen. And it's just this journey. And it's, to me, it's a journey that never stops. I'm always reading. But you mentioned it. I have coaches that I've worked with for years now, still in touch with them. Every now and then I send them a ping on the side. Hey, I'm thinking of doing this. And they're like, no, you should not do that. Right. Like like you have to know the right people and get that honest feedback, and you have to listen. So it's a journey, and I don't expect it to ever stop. Right. I think if a leader's like, hey, I'm the best leader, I don't need to do anything else, I'm just going to keep going. Like, people change, man. Like, people are changing all the time. Organizations are changing. Work is changing. You know, 4 years ago, everybody was working from home, right? Like, it's different. It's going to always be different. So you have to evolve, and you have to learn, and you have to listen. And I've just been fortunate to be around the right group of people that have taught me how to do that. And I've taken it in, and I've applied it as much as I can.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have those people around you. And to your point, you have been open to it. You've been curious. I love how you've talked about, you and I share things like, well, what book are you reading, or podcast, yeah, or, you know, like that picture I sent you. You know, so I think I just really appreciate you like authentically sharing that this is how you believe and how you operate. And I think it's so true. So many times people can get to a seat of leadership, air quotes of leadership, and it's like, oh, I'm just going to do the work. I'm really good at this work. But again, if you've got people and business in your care, then there's a whole nother layer of responsibility, but also opportunity to that point about continuing to evolve and up your game. And, you know, and I was actually listening to somebody the other day, and it's like, if you do this work early, if you start doing this work earlier, imagine like you actually get a better version of yourself to be leading people and business sooner. Right. I sometimes think about that. I'm like, gosh, if I would have done certain things earlier, I'm like, the people, the business would have gotten a better version of Shauna earlier.
I think about it all the time. I mean, it's funny you say that. I think about it all the time that, you know, like you're put in these positions of leadership, of coaching teams or mentoring teams, depending on the organization, sometimes with no direction, right? It's just like, you've been really good at your job. So now we're going to give you the manager role in that same way. You may not be ready for that, but that's where they put you. If you don't take that seriously, because now you have people relying on you. And I think about it because I'm like, boy, I probably made a lot of mistakes. It didn't stop there, right? Like, I made mistakes constantly as I go. It's whether I learned from them or not. And fortunately, I feel that I've, in the organizations I've worked with, at least over the last 10 years, the folks that I've worked with, I gave them that ability to call me out, and I would ask them for it.
Yes, say, totally.
You know, feedback goes both ways. What's working, what's not working. And I would try my damnedest, although they might disagree, but I would really try to listen. I would always listen. I would try to adjust it. And that's, I think that's, again, it's part of the evolution of leading.
It's so true. And sometimes when that statement, I love that you did that for your people. You're like, no, feedback goes back both ways. I can't stress enough how important it is to invite people to give permission and not even just stopping there, but it's also, and I give you permission that if something's not working, is to tell me that, you know, you're not only invited, but you have permission, and like, you're not going to get dinged for it. I'm truly trying to be better for you. And then, you know, so I think that can really help people be able to say, okay, you know, here's what's not working, here's what I would like to shift, that kind of thing. So
you have to give people the room to do that.
Yeah. I remember one of the first times I said to someone like, no, tell me how I can be better for you. But I kind of got this look like, what? It was like a new person who wasn't used to the way I operated. And they kind of looked at me like, wait, what do you mean? I was like, that's the way I was asking for, you know, for inviting and giving permission to give me feedback.
I will tell you, I have a pretty decent memory, and there's a guy who you may know named Phil Cook, who's now the CMO of the WNBA. He was my boss at Nike for a number of years, and I'll never forget the first time he said to me, "How can I help you?" And this is not a knock against the boss. I've had great bosses before Phil. I've had great bosses after Phil. But I was so surprised by that question. I was like, he's asking what? How he can help. Like, and automatically I was like, I can learn so much from this individual. Like, how can I help? How can I help you be better? What are the things that you need advice on? Like, it was just at this moment that clicked and I was like, oh yeah, this guy is, he's maybe a little bit different.
Yeah. It's so true. I think sometimes when we're coming up in our careers, we actually don't actually know that we can ask the boss for help with something. Right. Because, you know, I think sometimes it's this aura that you're supposed to know how to do your job. You're supposed to know, you know, and a lot of times that's like from day one is, you know, so I appreciate you sharing that, you know, with the audience is that, you know, if you are listening and you have people who are in your care, going to people and giving them permission, inviting them, asking how you can help, what roadblocks can I take out of your way, can be so freeing, I think, and also help to dial down stress and anxiety, you know, in addition to just like whatever the issue is itself.
Absolutely.
So from our conversations, I know that when you were at Carhartt and then you were at Shinola, you kind of evolved your leadership mantra. Mm-hmm. And then now you have taken it into the Rocket Punch, again, as you've broken out on your own. And it's three-pronged from what I know. So share that with us, if you will, so that, and folks, I really stress, grab a piece of paper and pencil, whatever the thing is, jot them down, because I just think they're really, I find a lot of benefit from little phrases that I can then come to me in a moment of unsureness, fear, insecurity, whatever the thing is. So that's why I'm saying this. And the way you've packaged them into these three, like three-pronged mantra, I think is really helpful. So with that, please.
You got it. So how I'll preface this is, I think these are characteristics or traits that have maybe always been there, but have been dormant. And I'm not somebody that's like, I was an English major, but surprisingly, I struggle with words. So there are times where I need to write things down, or I need to really sit and think about it to make sure that I'm conveying the message. So I keep them written down. I've had this sticky note and I add to it and I cross things out. But you know, I think they are there, and it's probably started with one. And over the years, I added another and added another, just as I start to uncover them. I uncover them through, you know, different experiences. And as that experience kind of bubbles up, I'm like, oh, so does this idea that I like to keep it in mind, and I don't share it too often. I know I've shared it with you. But if it helps people, fantastic. The first one, which I just encourage everybody, you know, some of these may not be for everyone, but I encourage everyone to kind of give this one a little time and space in your head, is character over convenience. Like, when I talk to you about intention and values, all the time, it should be about what's right versus doing what's easy. You have to make decisions based on your values, your integrity, your intentions, even when it's inconvenient. And I've been in situations where I've seen things and heard things. And sure, probably when I was younger, I was part of that and it didn't feel good. And you just got to stick with what your values are, even when it might be difficult. Right. So that's the first one, character over convenience. The second one, which is a little trickier without the explanation, is confidence over confidence. But I think we addressed it a little bit. Part of confidence is actually saying, here are the things I don't know. I'm not telling people don't be confident. I think everybody has a level of confidence in them, but your competence actually proves your confidence. You shouldn't go in and be overly confident about something you know nothing about. So really your competence should then lead to your confidence. So that's just something I keep in mind. And asking why, being curious is one of the most important traits. If you don't know something, it's okay. My kids ask the weirdest questions and I think they're brilliant. You know, I had, when my daughter was, when she was two, she said, are dogs real? Like, that was her question. Like, it's just, it's the oddest question, but she's not coming in.
I wonder that myself.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know the answer, but because they're just so awesome.
Exactly. That's the point.
Can they be real?
Are they even real?
So, you know, that's, to me, that's the thing. Like, real confidence comes from knowing that you've put in the work and you're evolving, but also that you don't know what you don't know, and you're going to spend the time to actually get there and learn it. And the third one, which I'd say has really bubbled up in the last couple years, is service over status, right? So when I talk to you about the role that brands play, I've seen brands that think they're going to grow to like huge, huge numbers, hire a ton of people, and then in a short amount of time, because it's not happening, start to lay people off. You know, that's an issue, right? Like, mm-hmm. that happens more often than it should. There's a service component, like there's a responsibility.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to always be about status from a leadership standpoint. Yes, titles are great. I'm not going to, and people trade titles and they talk about their title and they post them on LinkedIn. I got a new title and congratulations. I mean, that's, you worked hard for that. But as that title grows, so does your responsibility to serve others. And I always think of it, especially now, like, again, it took time for this one to bubble up and get the words right, but it's really, for me, about service over status. How am I helping people that need it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you kind of hit me with that one, and I just write it down as you said it. As your title grows, so does your responsibility for the people.
For sure.
It was something like that, and it is so important. Like, it's so true, and I think that unfortunately I've seen a lot of people overlook that. And so that's why I, you know, just truly appreciate the way you've operated, the way you've committed to that, and the way you speak about it openly.
The leaders that I respect the most are the ones that put their teams and their mission above their own personal recognition. Mm-hmm. That's what works for me. So that's why I have it written down.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing those. And folks, I will write those out in when I post this, so you will all you will be able to, you know, if you didn't catch them, press rewind. But also, I will write them down.
I would also say they're probably not unique, right? Like, I'm sure there's versions of it everywhere. But you know, as a lifelong learner, through experiences and reading, like, these are some of the things I've absorbed and just what seems to work for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's part of what a lot of times what we're doing and saying isn't necessarily like the absolutely 100% unique. And it's actually, because to your point, I am curious. I'm a learner. So are you. So you're a sponge around these people that are, you know, sharing such wonderful nuggets. You know, and then we start to absorb those, to your point, and then utilize them. And when you see the impact, then you're like, that person was onto something and I want to carry on, you know, what they were doing. So, so that I just thank you so much for sharing that. And so we have spent some good amount of time today. I was going to say a ton of time. We have spent, I feel like I've taken a ton of your time today, which I'm so grateful for. And as we wrap up the episode, I want to kind of move into some takeaways. So specific to the Rocket Punch work you're doing, I mentioned this very early on that I wanted to kind of get back to any trends or watch outs or things you wish that people knew that, you know, in this space. Is there any kind of takeaways in that sort of arena that you can share with us?
Yeah, I think the industry is in an interesting spot. I actually just posted something a couple of weeks ago on LinkedIn about this. What we do is we spend quite a bit of time listening to what's going on, talking to retailers. We have we do our own analytical research and stuff, but there's a lot that's actually going on in the market that's really interesting. I think the first thing is from a consumer standpoint. I think consumers are generally being a little more cautious this year, which I'm not super surprised about, you know, high interest rates, election year. There's arguments on both sides as to the impact. But what I'm what we're seeing is that consumers are actually they're more interested in experiences than potentially just products right now. So you're going to see like brands like Nike, Wolverine, they're doubling down on consumer engagement. I think Nike put like $1 billion into sports marketing around the Olympics and everything. Wolverine is doing the same thing, building up Saucony. I just saw Target through their Target Circle added like 2 million users. So there's this consumer engagement thing that's really taking hold. That's, I think it's always been there, but consumers are actually diving in a little bit deeper into experience and engagement with brands. So that's a big one. And then the second one I'll give you is there's still this, like, I don't know if we want to call it a hangover or something around there, but coming out of COVID, there were peaks and valleys, right? The market was on fire. Then it slowed down. Then there was too much inventory. Then there was not enough inventory. Then there was too much inventory again. So brands are really looking to manage their cash flows a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. They're cleaning up inventory levels. They're cutting, we call it the long tail, right? Unnecessary product or product that, you know, doesn't make up a significant portion of the business and doesn't impact the brand to a significant extent. So brands are cutting their offering. They're really tightening and focusing, and they're optimizing inventory and cash flow, which I think will be really interesting as we head into Black Friday, Cyber Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Just to see, like, usually that's a great time to get rid of products, but as brands are having a little bit less inventory, it'll be interesting to see what kind of deals are going on. But those are two that I'm certainly keeping my eye on. There's always price and discounts and all that stuff going on. It's an interesting time for sure.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And folks, Scott puts out through Rocket Punch a quarterly report, quarterly update, something like that, which is fantastic. When you sent that one out, I think I sent it to like so many different people I knew, you know, kind of like this is what Scott's up to, but also like read this, super valuable information. So, you know, from this episode, folks, connect with Scott, follow him on LinkedIn, you know, see, you know, you just, I really do appreciate the valuable information you share, you know, through your channels. So thank you.
Keep that up.
And then we'll just close it out with, if there's a key takeaway that you want to share around leadership.
I go back to curiosity and risk, right? Like you've got to allow for that. If you're a leader, you got to allow your team to be curious and ask questions. You got to allow for them to take risks and fail. A lot of companies, a lot of leaders talk about it, but then when it comes down to it, it's status quo all day. You're not going to move the needle that way. So I always say, like, yeah, if you're a leader, you got to create that safe environment for others to take risks, try new things. And then for, you know, self-leadership, stay true to your values, right? Like don't do the easy thing all the time. It's not always going to work out for you. And it doesn't always work out for the company either or your employees, you know, so take a firm stance. Hopefully your leaders are giving you that ability to actually feel like you can do that as well. I'd say those are the main things that I would leave everyone with.
Thank you so much. I have had such a wonderful time chatting with you. Thanks for making time for it. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. And I hope that you have an awesome day.
Good seeing you. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.